Okay, well, it's back in division here with Miami. I think Miami's really done a good job in the last 5 6 weeks here. See them getting a little bit better each week. Just playing good solid football in all three phases. I mean, obviously it's a real good defensive team, good defensive front. Very active in the secondary, get their hands on a lot of balls, turn it over, can rush the passer, hit the quarterback a lot. It's a strong physical group. Good in the kicking game. I mean, obviously punt protection is going to be a big emphasis point this week. They do a real good job of that. They got a lot of good rushers, but obviously Wilson's a key guy for him there. Take Ben in the return game. He gets you thinking about protection, and then he can break them. And then offensively, they've got a real good balance between the running game and the passing game. The backs have done a good job getting production that. Really at every position. Clay's really taken a big role in the offense, as well as obviously Hartline and Wallace, and then Matthews and Moore both giving him some production as the third receiver. So Tannehill's played well, handles the team well. Thought it was a good win for him in Pittsburgh last week, in certainly on South Florida-like conditions. But they, beat a good football team at home there. So, I think they're playing well. And it's be a big challenge for us to go down there this week, like it always is in Miami. And have to play well and have to do it well for 60 minutes. It's a good football team. I think Coach Philbin's done a real good job with the team. They seem to play pretty consistently and good fundamentally, and every week. They don't have a lot of ups and downs. There's nothing easy about playing them. They make you earn everything you get, and they're well coached. They're fundamentally sound, and they're tough. So, I have a lot of respect for what he's done with the football team down there.
How much of Clay's success this year is about developing a rapport with him, and how much of it is about him kind of growing as a player?
I'm sure it's probably both. Yeah, I'm sure it's probably both. He's, I think probably the one thing that's impressed me the most about Clay. I mean, we know he's got a lot of playmaking ability. He's fast. He's very good with the ball in his hands after the catch. I'd say the thing that's impressed me the most about him has been his blocking. He really competes hard as a blocker. He's been matched up against defensive ends numerous times in the running game, guys like Charles Johnson from. Carolina, guys like that, he blocks them. He competes well with them, and is definitely not afraid to stick his nose in there and be tough and competitive. So I think he's really a lot more than a receiving tight end. He's he's a guy that's a playmaker that helps him in the running game too.
The way that the weather affected the Dolphins-Steelers game last week, play to play, how hard is it for you to evaluate, I guess, individual performances?
Yeah, it'd be a lot different than that Sunday. So, yeah, you see guys slipping and sliding around and all that. I mean, you can look at the schemes. You can kind of see what – I mean, the plays are the plays and see, what they're trying to do, how they're trying to attack. Offensively and defensively, that kind of thing. But yeah, the actual execution of it, I think, will be a lot different on Sunday, no question. So, you got to take it with a grain of salt.
We saw Josh Boyce play as much last game as he did pretty much all season up to that point. What did you see from his performance, and what did you see from this performance?
I think Josh did some good things. And he had some production, and certainly a lot of room for improvement, and he'll learn from that, and hopefully have a good week of preparation this week, and if he gets opportunities, then be ready to take advantage of them. I mean that's a key thing for any young player is when you get opportunities to play or to make plays, that you got to be able to take advantage of those, and then more will come. And if you're not able to take advantage of them, then not sure when the next one will be. So you've always got to be ready, and you've got to be able to capitalize on those types of situations. And I think he's done that now a couple of times on kickoff returns, and to a certain extent offensively. I think there's a long way to go, but it's definitely headed in the right direction.
What are some of the traits and skills that he has? I mean, the speed, obviously, you see that. But what does he have other than that?
Well, I mean, Josh is a smart guy that works hard. He's got some definitely position flexibility. He knows, you know, a lot of assignments and different positions. He's a versatile guy. You know, works hard, trains hard. He's always ready to go when he's had opportunities in the scout team to, you know, play the other team's best receiver and that type of thing. You know, he gets a lot of balls in some of those weeks in practice. And you can see him get better on the practice field, which has eventually here led to some playing time in the kicking game first and then offensively. And he's been able to a certain degree, take the ball and run with it. I mean, again, I think there's a long way to go here, but certainly progress, and he's got, you know, positive results that have shown up now for a couple of weeks.
In the same vein, the rookie of Jamie Collins has been in the starting lineup the last couple of weeks. What improvements, I guess, have you seen out of him?
Yeah, I mean, similar. You know, I think Jamie's, obviously played all year for us, more in the kicking game, but, has also gotten some opportunity on defense in some of our sub situations and in some other situations. And, you know, he's another guy who's worked hard, who's been, a consistent guy out there every day in terms of being able to practice, being able to work on his techniques, get better, whether it be on the scout team or defensively or in the kicking game. And, I think his confidence is growing. His overall understanding and anticipation is getting better, and his communication with his teammates is, improving too. But again, he's got a long way to go too. So, hopefully, if both those guys, Josh and Jamie, can, keep working hard like they've been doing, and stay on it, and continue to do all the little things that will make them better on Sundays at the end of the week, then, I think they'll continue to show improvement and, keep heading in the right direction. But, it's a constant, grind of, preparation and practice and game execution and communication. And, it just has got to, keep moving forward. But, those guys have good talent. If they continue to do that, then they should be all right.
Bill, Aqib seems like the kind of guy that really thrives on competition, mm-hmm. frequently draws the a top wide out. Are there things that you see that maybe we don't that would reinforce that?
No, I think you hit it on the head. I mean, he's very competitive, and even from preseason practices, whether it was jumping in line to cover Deshaun Jackson or Vincent Jackson or whoever it is, he always wants to compete against the best and feels like it brings out the best in him. And he's a great competitor. He's a good teammate. He works hard. And he's, he's ready to meet any challenge that we've given him, whether it be in a kicking game, defensively, run responsibilities, coverage responsibilities, whatever it happens to be. I mean, if it's something that'll help the team, he wants to do it.
Does he bring a unique energy or personality? It seems like he's always kind of on, revved up.
Yeah, no, I think he's got good energy. He's a good teammate. I think he's very respected in the locker room, but and liked in the locker room. So, which is not always the case. But I think he has a good rapport with everybody, the offensive players, the defensive players, the DBs and the skill players. But also the other guys, the linemen. I mean, he just has a good way about him. But it's he's not the class clown. But at the same time, he has a good personality, and he's serious and he's competitive, and he's got a nice, mixture of all those things. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying, but, it kind of goes well, in a lot of different settings.
Bill, it appeared that, and forgive me here, that Silver Siliga, I think that's how you say his name, defensive tackle, did some good things. Can you just talk a little bit about that player and what you see him during his snaps?
Well, he's been with us on the practice squad for a few weeks. I think he's worked hard, in practice, picking up a little bit of a new system, doing things a little bit differently in the way he's been doing them. Worked hard on his conditioning, and, he had an opportunity to play here a little bit the last couple of weeks, more last week against Cleveland. And, I think he's done some positive things. Kind of got a long way to go, and certainly a lot of room for improvement, but, I thought the things he was asked to do, I thought he tried to do them and had some production, was effective at times doing them. So, again, I think he's another guy that's kind of headed in the right direction. But hadn't been with us, half the year. So, we'll see how it goes.
The injuries that have occurred over the course of the year to the defensive line and some of the changes that have taken place, it seems like there's been more responsibilities given to the linebackers. Would you say that that's accurate?
I don't know. I mean, the linebackers can't play defensive line. Defensive backs can't play linebacker. I mean, everybody's got to do their job. Linebacker is always a position of communication. The defensive line, they have a certain level of communication relative to, pass rush games or stunts or things like that. But linebackers really control the people in front of them, and they have to make coverage adjustments and spacing adjustments based on formation. And then they control the line. If they need to move the line one way or another, or move a guy one way or another, like that's really a linebacker's responsibility. So I don't think, there's too many defenses in the league that would make adjustments with their linemen as opposed to their linebackers in the type of situations I'm talking about. There's some things that defensive linemen can do that are pertinent to their position, but as it relates to the entire front seven, that's usually done at the linebacker level. And I'd say I think fundamentally that's pretty much the way you got to do it, period. Because, as you're a linebacker and you have coverage responsibilities, which for the most part defensive linemen don't have, those coverage responsibilities affect, where they have to go and what they have to do. And then, at times it means they have to, change what a defensive lineman's doing. And the defensive linemen really aren't aware of that because they don't have coverage responsibilities, so. I'd say it's about the same. It's not.
How has Dante Hightower, done in the role of being that person to communicate?
Good. Better each week. Yeah, better each week. I mean, he's a smart guy. He definitely understands the defense. He's had a lot of experience of doing that at Alabama and running a defense. They ran at Alabama also involved, a lot of adjustments and some checks and some recognition of different things formationally and multiple coverages that, one coverage in one situation, another coverage in another situation, that type of thing. So I don't think any of that's too much for him. And, he has a lot more experience this year, obviously, in our system, and is a lot more comfortable with what we're doing, whereas last year he was, he knew it, but I think this year he just knows it better because he's, had a year of experience. So he's done a good job there. I don't think hasn't been an issue.
And my last question for the day. You guys obviously had your 10th win this last week. This is 11 years in a row you've had at least 10 wins. Can you give yourself and some of your longtime coaching staff members a moment to at least enjoy that, or is it really just back to the week-to-week grind and day-to-day grind of the season?
Well, I'd say we enjoy any win for a brief period of time. After the game's over, and there's certainly it's hard to win in this league, and it's good to win. It feels good to win, but as soon as that's over, then we got to move on to the next challenge. We can't sit around and talk about what happened last week or last year or some other year. So, it's a short window, but it's no different after a loss. And that's the same for the whole team. I don't think the coaching staff's really any different than the players. We're all kind of linked together there. Game's over. If you're happy about the results, good. You kind of feel good about it for a while. You look at the film, you make the corrections. Then you turn the page and move on to the next opponent. And if it didn't go well, then you don't feel good for a while, but you turn the page and you move on to the next opponent. And that's what we got to do. That's National Football League. You can't. If you dwell in the past, then, you're not going to play well in the future. And we've got another challenge this week. We got to move on. So I'd say that's what we did. Certainly by Monday evening, that page is turned. So it has to. You just have to do it that way. As good as some of the wins have been and as disappointing as some of the losses have been, it's a Monday game, but by Monday afternoon, Monday evening, it's on to the next team. It's got to be that way.
So when you lose a player like Gronk, how much of the burden or the adjustment, falls on Tom making site adjustments in the game, and how much
gets done by Josh and Tom on the sideline? And how much does that change in-game as opposed to having a week to prepare?
So give me that again now.
Well, how much adjustment gets done by Tom on the field during a game? When you lose a player like Gronk and you have to change up the game plan, how much gets done by Tom and how much gets done by Josh and Tom on the sideline?
Well, I mean, we've been through this many times before. I don't think anything's really changed. You go into a game with, we're talking offensively, you have multiple personnel groups. If something happens to a player and you get knocked out of one of those personnel groups or you're not able to use it as much because the group that you now have isn't a first, second, and third down group, you have to modify it somehow, then that's what you do. And those are the things that you've worked on during the week. You can't go into a game and just, play one personnel group and either not have enough depth so you can continue to play that group or not have enough depth so that if you lose that group, you can go to something else. I mean, it just, that would be irresponsible. So if one player, something happened to one player, then, will you pack up and go home? I mean, you can't operate a game like that. So you practice either the depth of a personnel group. You have backup receivers, backup backs, backup tight ends. We're going to stay with what we have, and then somebody else is going to step in and do it. Or if we are down on receivers or we're down on tight ends, then we play more tight ends or more receivers, whatever the case might be, and you practice that. And so that's how you build your depth during the week. That's how you build it all the way back in training camp. And when that situation comes up in the game, then that's what you do. I mean, obviously on the offensive line, if you lose an offensive lineman, then another guy goes in to play that position, or you move them around. But, you're not changing your skill players. You still have five offensive linemen, two tackles, two guards, and a center. I mean, so however you do it, that's how you do it. But if you're a multiple personnel team and you lose somebody that affects that personnel group, then you go to the next one. But that's what you've practiced. That's how you, prepare for the game. I mean, you could lose anybody in any game. I mean, you can't. What are you going to do? We can't play now. I mean, you have an alternative group to play with. So that's what we do. So that's the way it's been this year. That's the way it was last year. That's the way it was 10 years ago. I mean, I don't know how else you would do it. Whoever the new players are in there, then you do what you've done with those players. And obviously there's communication between those players and the quarterback and the coach and that group of players. I mean, but that's... that's football.
Bill, how much is there to gain from what you did the first 6 weeks offensively without Rob as you go forward here?
First 6 weeks. Talking about all spring, all training camp, and the first six regular season games. Yeah, I mean, we played a lot more this season without him than we have with him. So, you hate to see what happened to Rob, but we played most of the year, without Rob in some capacity. And so that's unfortunately where we are now, but that's where we are now. I mean, it's not anything that we haven't dealt with during the year.
Bill, one quick question on Hightower. Not really is the communication. How well has Dante played over the last 4 or 5 weeks, do you think? The simple performance.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you can look at any player and find plays that are good, and you'll find some plays that aren't so good with every player at every position and every coach for that matter. So, we've all had our moments. We've all had some that we'd like to have back, and we've all had some that we're satisfied with. So I think you can put every player in the same category on that. We've played competitively in all those games, wherever you want to start, wherever you want to finish. So we've played pretty competitively in all those games. Some we've won, some we haven't, but it's all been pretty competitive. Our opponents have been competitive against us, and we've been competitive against the opponent. I mean, it's not like these games are 64-0 one way or the other. So, a player or two here or there, we'd all like to have back. And there's been a couple plays that have made the difference in those games. And I think that's true for every player that's participated in those games on the entire roster.
You mentioned yesterday that the first time you played the Dolphins, they were sort of on the tail end of a bit of a rough patch. What's been maybe the biggest reason for their turnaround since then?
Well, I mean, just in terms of their wins and losses, I think they're fundamentally, their team has been competitive every week. I mean, they're a good football team, and they play hard and they play well. And just like us, they've won a couple close games and they've lost a couple close games. And their record could be different, just like our record could be different if some of those games had gone differently. I mean, they are what they are. But as a football team, they're a good football team. I just see general improvement over the last, whatever it's been, 6 weeks, in all three phases of the game, that they're more consistent. They're very, again, very disruptive defensively on the front. They've turned the ball over more defensively. So that's been a positive. They still do a lot of good things in the kicking game. They're a good coverage team. They're a good rush team. And offensively, they've got good skill players. They got good backs. They got a quarterback that's playing very well, that's not making a lot of mistakes. So, they're well coached. So, therefore, you have a pretty good football team. I mean, they've lost a couple games by, point or two or a play or a possession, however you want to look at it. They could easily be on a 6 or more game winning streak. So, wouldn't have taken much for them to beat Carolina. They just didn't score when they were in the red area. They were down there a lot. They just, had to kick some field goals. And then, the Tampa game was, a couple-point game, whatever that was. It's been pretty good.
All right, thank you.